Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Employers, simplify your pension scheme with a Zurich Master Trust. Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie.
An hour and a half ago, it was wheels up in Maryland as US President Joe Biden departed the US, and he's currently somewhere in the skies over the Atlantic en route to Ireland aboard Air Force One. A short time ago, as he boarded that flight, the President spoke briefly to the media.
What's your top priority on this trip, sir?
Make sure the Irish Accords and the Windsor Agreement stay in place. Keep the peace. That's the main thing. And it looks like we're going to keep your fingers crossed.
Is your family coming with you, sir? Is your family coming with you for the trip?
Just two of my family members hadn't been there before.
All right, so what can we expect as he arrives in Belfast this evening to begin his four-day visit on the island of Ireland? And just what preparations are underway in Northern Ireland? Well, BBC News correspondent in Belfast, Mark Simpson, joins us now with the latest. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon.
Preparations underway, streets locked down, the security operation at least is in full swing.
Yes, a ring of steel around parts of the city centre here in Belfast with, as you say, President Biden in the air, due to land in Belfast sometime after 9 o'clock tonight. We know that he has already left America. You very helpfully played some of the words that he spoke before he left. We have since had it clarified that the two members of his family who are travelling with him, not the First Lady, and we know she wasn't expected to travel, but his sister Valerie and his son Hunter, and they, like him, can of course claim to have Irish blood.
Sure, and so close obviously to a potential announcement of a presidential election. Clearly no attempt to distance himself from his son Hunter, who's been somewhat of a controversial figure himself.
Yes, that's right. And all politics is local. And I think Joe Biden will be keeping a very close eye on the American media rather than the British and Irish media when he arrives here. As we know, we're within touching distance of a presidential election campaign. And as we know, over the weekend at an Easter egg event outside the White House, President Biden indicated that even though he's now 80 years of age, he will be seeking re-election, though that hasn't been 100% confirmed.
So landing in Belfast for us, which is great from a local point of view, but also from the point of view of the overall UK perspective on things, Prime Minister Rishi Sunak looking forward to meeting him there as part of building on the transatlantic alliance after improved relations following the Windsor Agreement.
Absolutely. And you just heard President Biden reference that Windsor framework, the so-called new advanced protocol deal. He talked about it before he left for Ireland. But interestingly, we're told that the talks between the British and the American presidents and prime ministers are not going to be intensive. In fact, at the keynote speech, which we expect President Biden to make here in the city of Belfast at Ulster University tomorrow, we don't expect Prime Minister Rishi Sunak to be there. And these bilateral talks that they're going to have, they're not going to be a full-blown summit. This really is the Biden show in Belfast, and it seems as if he doesn't want too many distractions.
And what's the significance of Ulster University? Is this looking ahead, appealing to the next generation to build on the peace that was agreed 25 years ago?
I think it is. I think perhaps, though, it's more significant where he's not going rather than where he is going. He wants to look to the future rather than the past and the present. If he wanted to look to the present, he would go up to Stormont and he would find it empty. No members of the Legislative Assembly there to greet him. No First Minister, no Deputy First Minister. I dare say he will touch on the politics of all of that, the stalemate, the deadlock here during that keynote speech at the Ulster University. But I expect the emphasis will be more on the economics rather than the politics for obvious reasons.
And the ring of steel you mentioned earlier, what are the specific security concerns in Northern Ireland? MI5 has ramped up the terrorist threat level to severe, but is there any realistic prospect of people expecting President Biden's visit being interfered with by, say, dissident Republicans?
Well, I'm old enough to remember the first presidential visit to Northern Ireland back in November 1995 by Bill Clinton. And if anything, the security is just the same now as it was back then. I think dissident Republicans or no dissident Republicans, there's going to be high security here in Belfast. And I dare say you'll see similar scenes on the southern side of the border whenever President Biden over the course of the next 3 days goes to Dublin, to County Louth, and also to County Mayo.
And what about people who'll be meeting him on the fringes of this, informally or in set piece format? Do we know if at all he'll interact with political party leaders, and if so, in what format?
Well, again, this is quite interesting because we were expecting maybe private talks with the leaders of Sinn Féin or the DUP, Sir Geoffrey Donaldson, Michelle O'Neill, or even Mary Lou MacDonald as party president might come up from Dublin. Yes, they may all meet and greet President Biden at Ulster University, but we're told there are going to be no intensive talks or bilaterals. It's just going to be a case of handshakes and small talk.
And the duration of the visit, has that caused any issues at all? It's been described in some quarters as a sleepover, but the relatively short duration by comparison to his visit south of the border, has that caused any umbrage at all?
I suppose there are two ways of looking at this. Some people are taking it as a bit of a snub. We very much are the starter up here and the main course is down south. But he's 80 years of age. There isn't much going on politically here. As I mentioned before, he can't go to Stormont, but he is going to set foot in the city centre. And if you're in charge of tourism in Belfast, you're going to love that shot of President Biden, reputedly the most powerful politician on the planet, stepping out in the centre of Belfast, saying to businesses, it's a good place to go, and more importantly, saying to tourists, it's a good place to go. But there is some bad news. The weather forecast tomorrow is appalling, and Biden better bring his brawly.
Right, so he departs around 2 o'clock, is it?
If not a little bit later, Colin, we've all covered these presidential visits and we know things slip. But yeah, about 2:15, we're told he's going to start heading south.
OK, thanks very much, Mark Simpson from Belfast. And staying with the Biden visit, we know that the North's political leaders will have an opportunity to meet him, but a format as yet unknown. Maybe Stephen Farry, MP and Deputy Leader of the Alliance Party, could shed some light on that. You're very welcome to the programme.
Afternoon.
And what can you tell us about your understanding of what's going to happen and the opportunities to meet Mr. Biden?
Well, I think all five of the main party leaders in Northern Ireland will be at Ulster University, and I think we will expect some type of interaction between the leaders. I suspect that it'll be more of an informal quick hello and probably exchanging a few words rather than any formal talks as such. I mean, he's not here to mediate in terms of the particular disputes happening at present, but more to set the context and to give broad encouragement to our politicians to move ahead, and also to maybe stress the opportunities that lie ahead for Northern Ireland if we can get the Assembly restored and start delivering on some of the things that we need to be doing.
And any idea what your own party leader would be keen to say to him in terms of where he might direct his efforts in the short time he's in Northern Ireland?
Yeah, well, I think we're probably touching on two issues. One will be the need for reform of the Good Friday Agreement. I mean, it's a living, breathing document that does need to evolve and just reinforce that message with them. But I also think it's important to focus on this pivot point that we're at the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement. And we have an imperfect peace. We also have an imperfect situation in terms of progress in Northern Ireland, in terms of prosperity and opportunities. We have had some good investment in recent years, but Northern Ireland isn't truly transformed, certainly not in the same way that the economy and the rest of the island of Ireland is performing. So there's much more that we need to do in that regard, and we need the help of the United States in that particular respect. So we'll be stressing to him the importance of that prosperity agenda, and also how the Americans can help to ensure that the proceeds are more evenly distributed across Northern Ireland to make sure that, in particular, those communities that have been left behind can have a better opportunity.
And were you disappointed maybe that he didn't take the opportunity to take the chance to speak directly to political representatives, maybe within the building of Stormont at least, even if the Assembly is not sitting? Or do you think that was an understandable decision given that the Assembly is currently suspended?
Well, I think it's understandable, and I mean, I approach this in terms of very much glass half full. I mean, Northern Ireland, we're a region of less than 2 million people, and four out of the five last sitting presidents have visited Northern Ireland during their time in office, and that's something that's incredible to take on board. So we have this precious opportunity from this. What I fear is that perhaps we're not taking full advantage of it because we don't have the Assembly sitting, and so we're not able to really press the go button on some of the potential opportunities. But nonetheless, we will make the most of it. We don't have the symbolism of that discussion to the Assembly, but many politicians will be there at the university tomorrow anyway, and we'll still hear the remarks that he's making. But also, I mean, he's there to talk not just to politicians but also to the business community, and I mean, the US Northern Ireland Economic Envoy, Joe Kennedy, is joining the visit. I understand he's going to stay on a few days longer in Northern Ireland after the President leaves, so there'll be further opportunities on the back of the visit, in particular for our business leaders to engage with Joe Kennedy.
And finally and briefly, just the security situation, the scenes we saw in Derry yesterday of petrol bombs being thrown at police, do you think they could spoil the message you're trying to send out that Northern Ireland is open for business during the time of the presidential visit?
Well, I think most people appreciate, as disturbing as those images are, they don't reflect Northern Ireland today. I mean, this is the very small extreme who are still acting out, that they have no political mandate, there's no political voice as such. They're just people making mayhem on the streets. Of course, we do need to address the reasons why that's happening, but it doesn't represent Northern Ireland today, which is a very much a forward-looking society.
All right, Stephen Farrey from the Alliance Party, thanks for joining us.